My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Have a great time. This week, you can go on back to your pew, but just remain standing for a moment. This week, I was praying for all of you, and I was asking God to show me what's happening in people's lives today. What are they faced with? What are they going through? What's happening in their lives? I want to know, Lord, so that whatever I say today, I would speak to that and help you find your authority and dominion so that you can walk with God in victory and in faith, so that you can overcome whatever it is you're faced with. And then the Spirit of the Lord awakened me in the night, and I felt a choking come into my neck and a pressure on my chest, and I couldn't breathe, and it just felt so heavy, and it just was almost terrifying. And I said, what in the world is this? The Lord said, I just answered your prayer. You prayed it and I answered it. That's what they're feeling today. And I said, well, what is it, Lord? Because I wrestled with it. I defeated it. It moved off of me. And I know we can defeat it today. It's not like something you can't win. He said, there are three spirits that my people are fighting that keeps them from operating in the spirit with authority. Three spirits. And one of them, and of course the main one that he wants me to emphasize and talk about, we could talk about any one of the three. We would be accurate to do so. Brother Strobel ministered in the Sunday school class about forgiveness, and that's sort of like the third spirit. But the first spirit is the spirit of shame. There is so much shame in people's lives today. And when I give you the thought processes that go along with that, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And the spirit of fear is really affecting people today because everyone is uncertain about what's coming upon the earth. And a spirit of bitterness, you know, playing that somebody did me wrong song and somebody didn't do enough for me. And so therefore I'm upset. But if there is one place you ought to be able to go to get healed, it's the house of God. Amen. From every one of these spirits. Now, I asked the Lord, I said, God, I'm not just wanting to preach about this. I want you to heal them of these spirits. Because it's not like spirits that coming because of wrong behavior or wrong this or wrong that. It's like a sickness when you get a virus and you just have to live through it. And then in the middle of it, you're thinking, oh God, I'm going to have to live this way. And you know, you can feel the pain and you just have to go through it. Well, God wants to heal you today where you can learn how to operate in your authority and in the power of the Holy Ghost. And God's going to do that. God's going to give you three healings today. You're going to be healed of shame. You're going to be healed of fear. And you're going to be healed of bitterness. I declare it in the name of Jesus Christ. So I take you to one verse, Psalms 119 and 80. Psalm 119 and 80. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. That's a powerful thought right there. Sound, meaning unimpaired. It means that I am in agreement, in accord, unimpaired to follow your word. I'm not sitting around making excuses of why I'm not doing what the Bible says I'm supposed to be doing. I'm not saying, well, because of this, I can't do that. I understand that God's word is true and I'm in accord, in agreement with it, and I'm going to obey it unimpaired. That is a powerful way to combat the spirit of shame, is to obey the word of the Lord. So I want you, if you would, just lift your hands and your voices right now, and I want you to claim all three healings. Even if at this particular point you don't know how these may have affected your spirit, maybe you don't feel that pressure at this particular moment, or you haven't this past week, but you know that there have been times when you have been awakened or you have felt that pressure on you, I ask that the Lord would heal you today, and that you would walk in the authority and the dominion of the Holy Ghost, and that God would free us from the spirit of shame that cripples, that shame that impairs us and keeps us from operating the way you have designed for us to be, in order that we might be the people of the name of Jesus, filled with the glorious gift of the Holy Ghost, with power and victory in Jesus' name. Three healings in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Three things about the thinking of a person who is affected by a spirit of shame is, number one, they say to themselves, they don't necessarily say it to other people, but they may hear it from others, but they say it to themselves, I will never measure up. No matter what I do, starting from this point forward, I will never measure up. You don't know the power of the Almighty God in transforming a life by the blood of Jesus. Number two, I will never get better. I can never change. I am the way I am, and there is nothing I can do to get better. That's not true. I said that's not true. I'm going to say it again. It is not true. The third thought pattern that somebody feels when they have this spirit of shame is, I have made too many mistakes to qualify to be used of God. That is not true either. Either the blood of Jesus works or it does not. So they have the attitude, so what's the use? Well, I take you to Joel chapter 2 and verse 26 and 27. It's the foundational text that Simon Peter used on the day of Pentecost in order to declare that the outpouring of the Holy Ghost was indeed a prophetic word that God had spoken many centuries before. And God has honored his word now, and now it is fulfilled and the Holy Ghost is being poured out. But before that word could be spoken, he had to deal with a spirit that was on God's people because they had lost so much time. They had backslidden. They had literally walked away from God and lost so much time, they did not believe that they could ever experience restoration. But I have come to declare to you in this service this morning, I speak restoration on you in the Holy Ghost. He said, I can restore the years that the cankerworm and the palmer worm and the locust hath eaten. I can restore the years. But this is what he said in Joel 2, 26. And you may have to use your Bibles. I hate for you to have to turn. I know you're so tired and it'll probably wear you out. But go ahead and go to Joel chapter 2 and verse 26. I'll give you a little bit of moment, because I want you to read this with me and to kind of understand what the Bible is saying, because it's such a powerful powerful healing that can come into your life. And in Joel 2:26, before he prophesies about the Holy Ghost being poured out, he declares to the people that you have got to deal with that shame. It's the shame that's going to keep you from operating in the Spirit. Shame won't keep you from church. Shame won't keep you from your job, but it'll definitely keep you from your authority and dominion in the Holy Ghost. Listen to me. I am tired of the devil running over our people when I know we have more authority than that. I'm tired of sickness running over our people when we've got more authority than that. We have more power than the enemy. I'm tired of fear ruling people's lives. I think the people of God ought to stand on the truth of the Word of God that Jesus said, I will fight your battle. I will win the victory. I will give you what you need. In Joel 2:26, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And that means that you cannot defeat shame until you learn how to praise with a spirit of thanksgiving. Now, Pentecostals have learned how to praise with the beat of the music, but we haven't had a spirit of thanksgiving. We like to approve what's going on in a service, but that's not true praise. I'm going to tell you, God's been good to us. As a matter of fact, he's done wonders in our life. And if that hand clap is not about the wonders he's done in your life, then please stop. Don't go through the effort. Please don't go through the effort, because you're wasting everybody's time in this house. But if you acknowledge, I was down, but he rescued me. I was in captivity, and he brought me out. And the presence of the Lord broke the chains that held me captive. And now I'm free. I'm free to praise him. I said, I'm free to be an apostolic. I'm free to be a Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled, blood bought, blood washed child of God. And he said, my people, now this is what he says, shall never. Woo! If you're his people, this is the promise. It's in the same text. It's in the same context of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And I'm just saying, if you've got the Holy Ghost, and if you've got the real thing, this is the promise. And my people shall never, 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 never be ashamed. Never. I wish somebody would get that never. If there's 1 ounce of shame anywhere near you, then all you need is to start praising God with thanksgiving. You know, God's lifted me. God's elevated me. I'm better off today than I've ever been. You ought to be able to worship him and praise him with such power today because of what he's done in your life. Praise him with thanksgiving. And here's verse 27. Now he repeats the same text. He repeats it. I mean, you know, I read it in verse 26. Why does he have to repeat the same thing in verse 27? You know, it's like, because most people won't get it the first time. Isn't that the truth? How many of you know you don't get it the first time most of the time? Now, talk about frustration. Before I read this text, I was writing about this. God was speaking it to me, and I wanted everybody to be healed. And I'm praying, God, you got to give us authority so we can heal this spirit, so that people can walk in their authority and their dominion, so that they're not ashamed. And I know we listen to too many voices and we listen to too many people, and that causes us shame, and that causes us to feel like I'll never measure up, I'll never be able to do anything. I'm telling you, God can take a sinner right up off the street, bring them in here, and they start praying and believing God, and God start doing miracles on their behalf, because God doesn't need to qualify them. like you need to qualify them. God is the qualifier himself. And if he's in their life, he is the qualification for it. You know, I always use a template in Microsoft Word to do my sermons. And so I have a template and I have it all pre-programmed. So I just bring up the template and I start typing. And then whenever the parameters get messed up, it's a very frustrating thing, especially when you're typing along and you go to the next line and it goes to the next page instead of to the next line. You talk about, you know, it tests my patience. It tests my patience. And I wrestled with that crazy thing for 10 every 11 minutes. Now, for somebody who's trying to write down everything God is speaking, that's an eternity. You understand what I'm saying? If you're a writer, you know those 10 minutes can frustrate you to no end. And I could not figure out what in the world was wrong. So I finally decided, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to my Logos and I'm going to insert the scripture, Psalms 119 and 80. And when I inserted the scripture, there's always a little box that appears that says match the formatting to the destination. And I click on that and it corrected it. Hallelujah. I said, God might be trying to tell me something. It worked for a while. Then I went on, and then again, it skipped down to the next page. I said, oh, no. I done inserted the word. And then the Lord said, you forgot to clear the formatting. So I had to go and clear all the formatting out of the end. I had it all formatted, except it was one page here and then another page missing and then another page. And then you just can't do that when you're preaching. You go there and there's no page there. You know, when you're in the flow and you're going, you know, you need it all together. Well, I cleared all the formatting and then I put the word back in and then I matched it to the destination. And that's what God's about to do in this service, is clear all your previous formatting. You've been pre-programmed. I wish somebody would hear me. You've been pre-programmed for shame. In this generation and in this world, everything's a shame. Everything's a put down. But in verse 27, this is how I know that we, the people of God, can get victory over this. And ye shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel. How many of you know God's in the house? If God is in this house, you don't have to put up with that spirit not one second longer. How many of you know that I am the Lord your God and none else? Not only, we are the one God people. And he said, my people, shall never. I said, never. He repeats it because you didn't get it the first time. He said, I'm going to have to say this again. Are there any one God people in the house? Is God in this service? Now, if he's not here, you don't have a prayer of a chance. But if he's moving up and down these aisles, if the Holy Ghost is in the house, you can walk out of here and say, I may have made some mistakes, but I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I'm going to be used by God. Now, let me explain this to you. Shame can be a well-placed emotion in your life in order to convict you of things that you have done wrong. It can be a right emotion, or it can be misplaced. You can be made to feel guilty over something you shouldn't feel guilty over, but it doesn't make any difference whether that shame is well placed or misplaced. The result is the same. Its effect on you is the same. You're going to do the same thing Adam and Eve did. You're going to try to hide from God. And that's the reason why we mask our pain with addictions. That's the reason why we mask our pain with entertainment. And we mask our pain with just cute little statements that we make with people when we shake their hand, trying not to reveal what's truly going on the inside. You might think you know the person sitting next to you, but you don't know what's happening on the inside. Because shame can be very destructive when it can harm people. Remember Phoebe Prince, 15 years of age, committed suicide because she was being bullied online about who she was dating. Rutgers student Tyler Clementi leaped from the George Washington Bridge. Why? Because he supposed his friends had streamed his embarrassing encounter on the web. Shame can cause you to lash out against other people. Cesar Villazano shot and killed someone who had embarrassed him. Joanne Hill was ashamed of her daughter's mental impairments, so she drowned her. Most people don't go that far, but they still live quiet lives of desperation. They grow sick in their heart. They become discouraged and defeated. And I am tired of preaching to Pentecostals who are defeated. Not because of you, but because of this spirit. And we become perpetual altar goers where we've got to constantly go to the altar to feel more confident with our walk with God. And all the enemy's got to do is remind you of your mistake from the past. It gets you sick at heart. And you start blushing every time you think about it. And you feel unworthy. And you feel like you cannot overcome. And then the tempter comes and laughs at you and said, I sure told you you'll never amount to anything. And that's what that elder said in the church. And that's what that person said in the church. But I've come to tell you right now, if you are a one God, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, apostolic, blood bought and blood washed child of God, you will never, never be ashamed. You go ahead and clap your hands, honey. You go ahead and praise your God with thanksgiving. Go ahead and say, devil, I'm not taking it no more. God can cure your shame. It's destructive, but he can cure it. Shame is that soft spot. If you leave it alone, it'll affect your entire life. You remember the story of the man with the withered hand. He went to the synagogue on one Sabbath morning expecting just to fit in. Had his hand hid in his cloak. He did. It's the reason why Jesus told him to stretch it forth, because nobody knew it was withered because he had it hid unless they knew him. And he was ashamed of it. Because back there in that culture, especially among them Pharisee brothers, if you had that kind of handicap, you sinned. You did something wrong. Your parents did, your grandparents, and there's no way you can overcome that generational curse. You're going to be messed up for the rest of your ever-loving life. And Jesus said, stretch forth thy hand. Now, he had a choice. He had two hands. And he could stretch forth the good one to say, you know, I got this good hand here, and I want to show off my good side. No, that's not good either. So what are you going to do with your good side when your good is not good enough? How many of you have ever been and you've ever lived long enough where your good wasn't good enough? And no matter what you did, you couldn't please some people. If you put the salt shaker here, they were mad. And if you put it here, they were mad. And then if you asked them where they wanted it, they got mad that you asked them. Because they were just mad and wanted to stay mad. What are you going to do when your good is not good enough? But this man had enough sense to know. He stretched forth his withered hand and exposed himself, vulnerable. I imagine the Pharisees were ridiculing. But when he began to stretch it out, it kept on stretching. And it kept on stretching. And it kept on stretching. And all of a sudden, the withered hand was healed. But if you're a Pharisee, you're going to be mad no matter what. Because the Pharisee was mad at the withered man's hand, probably at first, but then they turned it on Jesus. He healed on the Sabbath day. Huh. You're not supposed to heal on a Sunday. You got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Why are you going to heal on a Sunday? I'll take healing any day. Or we need a special revival to get the Holy Ghost. You can get the Holy Ghost right now where you're sitting. I think you need to clear your formatting and match the format to the destination and say, we're fixing it. We're not going to the next page. We're going to stay line by line, and we're going to get rid of this shame in the name of Jesus. I know there are people that are numb to conviction, and they feel no shame in their sin. And to that, my friend, is a whole nother message, and it definitely needs to be addressed in this terrible generation that we live in. But for every one of those who are in your face and feel no shame, there are 100 people that are bound by the spirit of shame. But I say it is bruising their lives. It is destroying their lives. It's damaging their friendships, their relationships. It's crippling them emotionally and spiritually. But I want to tell you, God cares about you. I'm going to say it again. I said, God cares about you. Every last one of you. The person sitting next to you may not even like you, but God loves you. Jesus loves you enough to die on the cross for your sins. And you're not alone. There's all kinds of examples in the New Testament where sin and shame were dealt with by the love of God. What about the prodigal son and the father leaping from the porch and running to where the son is? Woo, hallelujah. What if prodigals come back? Prodigals you're mad at, can you run to them? Are you going to be the elder brother? The sinner of Luke 18 was so convinced of his unworthiness that he couldn't even lift his eyes in prayer. And he just smote himself and said, I'm a sinner and I'm not even worthy to stand before. But he came forth victorious. What about Zacchaeus? He was a tax collector in Luke chapter 19. He was changed by a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ. Can God forgive tax collectors? If he can forgive tax collectors, he can forgive anybody in this house. Huh? The eating of the fruit in the middle of the garden by Adam and Eve proved to be a permanent alteration of human consciousness. And now men are vulnerable. And now they saw their own nakedness and they knew. The Bible says before they were not ashamed. They were naked and not ashamed. And now they realized and they were ashamed of themselves. You say, Brother Kinsey, I haven't been everything I'm supposed to be. Praise God for his forgiveness and let's start over today. I want you to hear this, Romans chapter 8. If God be for us. Who? Who? Who can be against us? He's not saying people won't be against you. He's saying they cannot prevail against you. Who? I was talking to a preacher the other day and I could feel the pressure on him and he just was just being buried. He has a wonderful church, but it's about 100 people and they've grown and they were just piling all kinds of situations on him and he was feeling the pressure of it. And I said, brother, you need to be delivered from the spirit of shame. Because shame, there are people shaming you for this and shaming you for that, and you got to work two jobs just to make ends meet and still pastor a church. You need to quit letting these voices shame you for what you can't do and put it in the hands of the Lord and start trusting God that God's going to see you through. And so I'm going to say the same thing. Some of you got too many people speaking into your life, shaming you over this, that, and the other, and telling you you should have done this, should have done that, could have done that, would have done that, and maybe you should have done everything. But you need to rise up and realize that if you'll seek God's help, he will forgive you. Put your heart in the hands of the heart mender. His name is Jesus. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And that's what the Hebrew writer said. He said he endured it for our sake. So I think you ought to lay aside every weight and anything that would hinder you. Anybody that will embarrass you over praising God in this place, you don't need to listen to a thing they've got to say. Because whatever they got to say ain't worth listening to. I'm sorry.
He is the author and the finisher of our faith. God will let you start over again. And here's what I've learned to do, and this is what I've got to get you to do to deliver you from that spirit of shame. How many of you believe there's one God? How many of you praise the Lord at least sometime today with the spirit of thanksgiving? Okay. You're never going to be ashamed. But I know it'll come back on you, and you won't be able to defeat it like I defeated it unless you focus on the future and quit focusing on the past. I'm not saying you won't walk out of here victorious. I'm saying that there'll be somebody that the devil will have somebody at Longhorns to meet you. And you may not even get up out the door. They're going to be somebody to remind you of something you did, something you said. They're going to be looking at you wrong. And you're going to know, huh? Has any of y'all ever got the look? I mean, I ought to wear a mirror up here on my chest so y'all could just look at how y'all look while I'm preaching. It's a wonder that any of us got any sanity. Because you can't judge by people's faces. The Bible told Jeremiah, said, don't do it. Don't judge by their faces because they're mean as hornets. Not you, but that was Jeremiah's day. You understand? Understand, I'm not drawing the parallel. I'm just simply telling you what God told Jeremiah. Amen? All right. Keep the focus. But you ought to see, they give you the look. And you just have to, you know, you understand, you're getting the look. How many of you are married? And get the look. Don't lift your, oh my God, y'all done messed up. Well, call the office, we'll talk about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to tell you, you need to ignore all of that mess. Because the devil will always put it in your path. But listen to me right now. When Jesus created you by his redemption, he made you beautiful by his design. And he has something wonderful planned for your life, regardless of what anybody thinks. If you listen to them, they will poison you. But if you'll start praising him with thanksgiving, come on down to the front when we come on. I believe in what God's in the house. And if God's in the house, you're going to walk out of here a free person, delivered. You are enough. I said you are enough to make it. And you have enough to make it all the way home. I'm so glad Jesus took our shame. I said, I'm so glad he took that poison of guilt out of our heart. It's not shame on us, it's shame on him, but he took it so he could provide us a new covering, a covering that would work, that atonement, the wings of his mercy. If you could just fast forward your life and focus on the future of what God's prepared for you, he'd set you free. I will not say today you should come to the altar. I'll say today you may come to the altar. I will not say you must ask for forgiveness. I will say his forgiveness is here for you. I can say that because the price of sin has been paid. I can say that Jesus paid it all. If you will, and this is what the Lord promised me. This is what the Lord promised me. If you'll clear your formatting and match the format to your destination right now. He told me if you'll bring your shame to him, he will heal you today of fear and bitterness and feeling as if you'll never measure up. because that is a lie from hell. If you'll come to him, he'll make sure you get the measure. He'll make sure you measure up. Because I promise you, Jesus measures up. I can't tell you how real I felt that in the Holy Ghost, how real that terrifying pressure was on me. And I know it's on you. I can feel it on you right now. And you got it hid. You got your little withered hand all up in the cloak. Oh, not me. Yes, you. It's on you. I've never felt like I measured up. I never felt like I had that part of me met, that emotional need met. Well, Jesus is going to meet it today. He promised me he would do it if you would come to him. Everybody stand, please. I ask you may come to the altar today. You may come to the altar. Yes, you may. His forgiveness is here for you right now. Yes, right now. His forgiveness. This is by no means an excuse to sin, because there is a well-placed conviction that comes upon people's hearts that sin. But even if you've sinned, there's hope. Don't stay back there because you're not as perfect as somebody else, because whoever you think is as perfect as this or that isn't as perfect as you think they are. And if they've got the goods, they'll be the first person to tell you that. They'll be the first person to tell you, no, I've struggled many times in many ways, but I serve a Jesus who loves me. You don't have to receive the love from the house, because the prodigal son did not say, I'm going to my father's house. He didn't say that. Because the house won't receive you, because you messed up too bad. House ain't going to take you. House wants you to pay for it. He said, I will go unto my father, because it's the father that'll receive you. It's the father that'll take you back. It's daddy waiting on you, feeding that calf, getting ready for the son to return. But oh, thank God. Thank God. Daddy was on point. He didn't meet the elder brother. Not at first. He did later. He had to take that indignation, that looking down. But oh, thank God. Daddy was there. And I believe God promised it to me that he would meet you here and he would bless you and he would strengthen you. Now I want every head bowed, every eye closed, and I want you to lift your voice right now and let's repent together and let's say, Jesus, I ask that you would come into my heart and that you would forgive me and receive me, oh Lord. I want to be free of this pressure that's on my life and this shame that's trying to bottle me up and cripple me and keep me emotionally disturbed all the time, where I can't praise God and I can't leverage what I do believe, the oneness of God, for the benefit of myself or anybody else, because I'm held captive by people's opinion and by shame and by something that I've done yesterday that's still holding me captive. But I say now in the name of Jesus, repent, ask God to forgive you, put it all on the altar and say, God, here I am. I might be ashamed, but I believe you can heal my spirit and you can deliver me. You can free me from it right now in the name of Jesus, so that I can walk in liberty, I can walk in dominion, and I can walk in the authority of God. I may not be like somebody else, but I don't have to be. I can be like you want me to be. Obeying God, being sound in the scripture, unimpaired. But I'm going to be free. I'm going to be free today in Jesus' name. Go ahead, lift up your voice all over this house, church. Cry out unto the Lord in prayer and repentance. We've all come short of the glory of God, every one of us, but the Father stands with his arms ready. If you will come to him, he will run to you. That's the promise that God gave me. And I'm going to stand on it and believe that he's going to accomplish it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now I want you to connect with somebody in the Holy Ghost. And I want you to believe that the Lord is going to minister. And I believe that God is going to do something powerful in this service right now. I feel the Holy Ghost working in you, and God's going to show you that your shame is about to walk off and leave you. And it'll come back. It'll try to come back. I want you to pray. It'll try to come back. But you stand on the authority of the Word of God. You stand on what I preach today. God cares enough. He's compassionate enough. He's loving enough. Go pray.
That's it, church.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.